For WILL, I'm Victoria Shepherd, and this is the Mid-American Gardener Podcast, where we love to talk about anything connected to gardening in central Illinois. My guest today is going to help simplify what many of us in central Illinois are doing right now. Marianne Metz has some tips and tricks for hopefully making fall cleanup easier. A lifelong Champaign-Urbana resident and gardener, Marianne has worked in horticulture for 40 years. After working in a production nursery and owning a small garden center, Marianne went back to school to study landscape design. Currently, she works at Prairie Gardens in Champaign, where she serves as horticulturist and also gives seasonal presentations to garden clubs and plant societies. She is also one of our amazing Mid-American Gardener panelists. Hello, Marianne.
Hello, Victoria. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in. So, what is going on with this weather?
Oh, my. I think it's Mother Nature. That's it.
Simple as that?
That's it.
You know what? She's being a bit brutal this year.
This has been a very difficult year for gardeners particularly, and everyone in general. But boy, I'll tell you, middle of October and we're having beautiful snow. It was really a lovely snow just a few days ago. That's a sign. I'd get ready.
I know, but my wife said to me the other day, she said, in all her life, and she's from the Midwest, she cannot remember snow falling before her birthday, which is October 21st. So she was like, this is crazy.
Well, you're too young because this was the fourth earliest snow, not even the first earliest.
Oh, so it has been a long time then.
Yes. Okay. I don't remember them, though, myself. So,
now, you have been here for all your life.
My life, yes.
You're a townie.
I am one of them.
Are there that many of you around nowadays?
Surprisingly, yes, there are.
Oh.
So I just had a class reunion not too long ago and surprised to find out how many people actually still lived in the community.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's amazing. Never see them, but yeah, it's really neat.
Well, so you're going to help us. I started this past weekend. The last podcast was with Diane Nolan.
Yes.
And we talked about spring bulb planting.
Yes.
So I started this past weekend and now I'm worried. I worry that because of the cold snap, are they going to be okay?
Oh, they need this. They absolutely have to have the cold. Spring flowering bulbs do. Absolutely.
Okay. And now, with the cold snap, obviously things have sort of had a little bit of a shock, I think, some of the plants, don't you think?
Well, it's somewhat of a shock, the temperature thing. But what we have to remember is that it doesn't get that cold and stay that cold that long. So it's a dip that happens usually really early in the morning as the temperature goes down to that temperature. Once in a while it'll happen in the daytime, but not usually, falling in the daytime. But usually at night, goes down probably 20, 30, 40 minutes, and then it goes back up again. So not too much damage is done, usually.
Okay.
Usually.
So what are you doing in your garden right now for coming into the winter months?
Well, the first thing I did, and I usually wait until it's snowing and blowing, but I brought all of my houseplants in before it snowed. I can't believe I did that, but it was the first time. So I'm proud of myself.
So your houseplants you keep outside?
In the summertime, yes. They love it. It's like a summer vacation. They thrive. Almost all houseplants are tropicals, and they like hot, sweaty weather.
So
I don't, but they do. So
the first thing you've done, you've brought in your pots.
Brought in the houseplants. And, okay. You know, there's a process for doing that so that you're not taking insects and disease in with you. And it's about spraying down with a hose before outside, spraying the plants down. The next thing you want to do is use a contact spray for insects, for houseplants. And use that outside if you can, and let that dry. And then take it inside and use a systemic insecticide on the soil surface and water it in. And it usually, I think it's Bonide puts out a product that's called that, systemic insecticide. Mm-hmm. That's a 2-month residual. So you'll use it 2 more times maybe inside the house. And it's not the kind that's harmful that will put fumes into the air. So.
Okay. And then when do you generally put those houseplants back outside again?
I try to wait until nighttime temperatures are above 55. So it's, you know, that magic rule about Mother's Day. Just look at the middle of May.
And then do it.
Yeah.
Okay. What are the sort of things that people should be doing? I mean, what should you be deadheading now?
Well, a lot of people like a real tidy, well, not like, I like a real tidy garden. Some people like a real tidy garden. Other people like it to be natural and they don't do too much in the fall. I like it to be tidy. I like to deadhead like hydrangeas, not cutting them back hard because you might be cutting off flowers for the following season if you're not aware of what kind of hydrangea you've got.
Well, that was one question I had for you because everyone always has questions about hydrangeas, including me.
Yeah.
And we have an oak leaf, Annabelle's, and then the mop heads.
Yeah.
So it's my understanding that with the oak leaf and the mop heads, they grow on old wood.
They bloom on old wood.
They bloom on old wood.
Yes.
So you do not, apart from just taking off the dead flowers, you don't really have to do anything.
That's right? Exactly right. Some, like all gardeners, we always put plants in the wrong place. You know, it's too large for the area we put it in. So pruning to control the size and shape of a plant is sometimes necessary. But if you've got a plant like that and you prune it in the fall, you're cutting off the flowers for next year for sure.
Okay, but you can take off the flowers, the dead flowers.
Oh, yes, you can just deadhead. That's perfectly fine.
But don't prune back.
Yes, in fact, you'll be able to see the growth buds for the following season down the stem. So that's the part that you don't want to cut off.
Now, if, for example, the oak leaf has grown very big, can you give them a haircut and trim them? And when should you do that?
Oh, sure. You absolutely can. And just be aware that most oak leaves are very large. There's only a few in the market in the last maybe 5-10 years that are considered dwarfs. And that's a relative term. That's less than 5 feet.
Ah.
And each year we get a variety that's a little smaller. So that's kind of fun. One of my favorites is called Ruby Slippers, and it's supposed to stay around 4 feet. So I've planted one of those, I hope, in a place that I've given it enough room because I don't want to cut it. But yes, it's the same rule of thumb for any flowering shrub. If you have to prune it for size, prune it right after it's flowered, before it's developed its buds for the following season, because the buds start to develop as soon as it quits flowering.
So if it's flower, because our mop heads are flowering now. I mean, we didn't have any flowers this year, and then now they're suddenly flowering.
Interesting. Are they flowering on the new wood?
I didn't check that closely, but we were like, this is crazy. They're flowering now.
Well, you know what? There's been a lot of crazy things going on. I'm pretty sure it's a reaction to the crazy environment we've had. Mm-hmm. The weather's just been wacky. So I'm pretty sure that's what's going on.
Okay.
But, enjoy them.
Well, we are enjoying those. And the Annabelles we have, we can actually cut those back, can't we?
Back to the ground if you want to, yes.
But should we wait until late winter?
I would wait till late winter, early spring before they start growing. Just right when you see buds swell.
Okay. Great. Hydrangeas done. So what else should be, apart the way you've talked about shrubs, what else can people deadhead or do to tidy up their garden?
Well, this is an important thing. One thing I would not deadhead, roses. Really popular right now are shrub roses like the knockouts.
Oh, really?
If you prune them back, you might stimulate new growth. And we're close enough to some really hard freezes that you don't want new growth on your rose bushes when that hard freeze comes.
Oh, so the pruning could actually accelerate or stimulate new growth.
New growth, yes.
And then the frost could damage them.
Yes. And I kind of say quit doing any significant pruning on shrub roses by mid-September, early September, if you can get away with it. My roses look really scraggly right now, but they're still blooming also. So I'll leave that on, and in the spring, like we've just talked about hydrangeas, in the spring when you start to see buds swell, you can see the buds, little growth buds start to get color in them, and then they'll just start to sprout. That's when you want to go in and prune your roses. So you can cut back for size if you want to, or dead, what's dead. Now, this last winter, a year ago, was very, very difficult. My shrub roses, which are very well established, I had to cut back to about 2 inches tall.
Yes.
And right now they're six feet almost. So, you know, it didn't.
They bounce back.
Yeah. I top dressed them with compost in the spring, and they didn't even care too much. So,
now, should people be, what's your opinion on mulching? Do you just do it in the spring, or should you be mulching in the fall as well?
Mulch is always a good thing. There are some people who just don't like the looks of it. You know, it's so important, though, in our environment. It helps moderate the soil temperature and moisture. So especially if you've got new plantings. And right now is still a very good time to plant trees and shrubs, but you do want to mulch them really well. So it moderates the temperature and moisture that goes to the roots.
Okay. And we have this very huge pine tree that's dropping a lot of needles on our garden and our lawn. Can we use that to mulch around, it's like the hydrangeas and things?
Yeah, you can. Absolutely.
That can help.
Even leaves. Of course, raking leaves, I would think so anyway. You don't want to let whole leaves or leaves that just drop on your lawn, you don't want to leave those. They have a tendency to glom together, for lack of a better word. But they get just real stick together and actually just suffocate your lawn. So if you don't have a place to put the leaf, what you rake up, mulch it. Run a mower through it, chop it up, and then it becomes a very, very good mulch.
Ah, we got a little gadget. We got one of those vacuums.
Isn't that fabulous?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if our neighbors appreciate the noise when I go out there, but I love it.
Yeah.
And then you've got it all mulched up.
Yes. And then right then you have the option, if you have a place you want to use it as a mulch,
so you can just put
perfectly
that straight,
acceptable. Absolutely. Yeah. Unless you think there's a disease or that you have some kind of insect or disease in those leaves. And that's a question I get all the time. There's this wrong with my tree, bringing it. People will bring me leaves to show me samples of what's going on. And especially with fruit trees and some ornamentals, it's especially important to clean the leaves up that have fallen and get them away, get them off your property, because it's a very good place for insect and disease to winter over. There's in our community, a lot of trees have anthracnose, which makes leaf drop happen, gosh, in the middle of the summer. So those are the kind of things that you want to pay attention to. Crab apples, older crab apples, have a tendency to get cedar apple rust, and they'll bloom beautifully, and then all the leaves will drop off in the spring. And that's a great place for that stuff to winter over if you don't rake it up and get it out of there.
As a quick reminder, this and past episodes are available through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and the NPR One app. Please do subscribe, review, and rate with abandon so that we can improve what we do for you. Okay, and are there any plants, flowers that you need to think about removing from your garden? Do you have to remove peonies or irises, or is there anything?
Perennials typically don't have to be removed. You might want to move them. We've all planted peonies, and then the shade got bigger, and they're shading the peonies. It's one of the best reasons peonies don't bloom is that they're in shade or too much shade.
They need full sun.
Yeah, herbaceous peonies that die back to the ground need full sun, as opposed to tree peonies, which will tolerate some shade. But peonies, now is the time. If you need to divide or move them, now is the time to do it. This is perfect time to do it. You should not do it during the growing season.
Okay. So don't divide your peonies during
spring or summer.
Okay.
In the fall when they're dormant, this is a perfect time to do it. Iris, on the other hand, you should already have raised them if you needed to divide them or clean them up. Mm-hmm. They have a tendency to get old looking in the middle and spread out, kind of a growth donut, if you will.
Yes.
And you probably want to do that in the summer, late summer, to dig them up and get rid of the old stuff or anything that's deteriorated and replant. So.
What about your ornamental grasses? Should you be thinking about whether you're either going, you have the donut, you
right.
say.
Right, yes, that happens.
Dividing those, or should you be cutting those back down low each year, or can you leave them?
I would say no and no. I would leave them, yes. it's better to leave ornamental the grasses standing during the winter. It's more protection for the plant. Mm-hmm. It's hard to mulch up around those plants. A lot of people I've noticed actually tie twine or something around the really tall grasses so that in the winter they don't start breaking and falling. And then in the spring, it's even easier to go in and cut them down. You want to cut them down, though, before they start growing. So you have to be out there in March.
Okay, so you do cut them then each year.
Yes. Or what happens is that the green comes up within all the straw, broken grasses, and it doesn't look so nice. And also, if you're going to divide them, that's the time to do it, is very early spring, late winter, early spring.
Okay.
So, to get rid of that donut.
One less job for me to do now.
Now, but in the spring, you got them.
Now, do you cut your hostas back? Because I think this seems to be a personal thing, right? A lot of people, they let them be natural and die back, and some people just don't. They want to clean up.
Yeah, I'm a cleanup person. I like my garden to be tidy. I also think it's one of those things that insects and disease can winter over on the leaves of hosta. There's several kind of persistent issues going on with hosta. Nematodes are one of them. And removing the leaves in the fall is probably a good way to minimize the population of insects that infect the hosta. So I don't do it now because they're still very well attached. But in a couple more weeks when we've had a couple of good freezes, well, I think we're going to have one tonight, actually.
I know. We got a warning today, which is Tuesday.
Yeah. The plants will start going down. You'll see them discolor and kind of lay flat. And then you can just almost pull them off.
Oh, so you don't actually cut them.
I try really hard not to do that because that's a lot of work. I'm kind of a lazy gardener.
I like your thinking, though.
Well, it spreads out the jobs. You know, there's other jobs to be done. You know, you were talking earlier about bulbs, getting your fall bulbs planted. Now is the time also to get your summer bulbs taken out of the ground, like cannas, dahlias, those kinds of things mm-hmm. that don't make it through the winter in the ground in central Illinois.
I did not know that.
You have to take them up and take them inside. It's usually a good idea to get as much soil off of them as possible, cut the tops off, put them in a cool, dry place, and let the bulbs dry out a little bit because they're still a little bit moist.
Now, one thing about the bulbs, the spring bulbs, Diane and I were talking about doing the lasagna pots.
Yes, absolutely.
And now if I do those pots have to come in during the winter, right? Because are they going to get completely frozen?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the problem with putting them in. It's an issue, not a problem. Putting them in containers, which is just a fabulous look. I love
I'm
doing
excited
that.
About it, you, but I'm thinking.
Put it in the east side of your house is probably the most protected. Our winter winds are usually west-northwest. So you're a little bit protected, and then mulch up over the entire pot. I mean, make a big mound of mulch around it.
So basically cover it.
Yes, absolutely. And it'll moderate it quite a lot, the temperature quite a lot, because they need that chill.
Oh, that's great advice.
Absolutely have to have that chill.
Because I was very excited about that, and I'm hoping it's going to look really pretty.
It'll be beautiful if you can just find a place to that'll be out of your way and not unsightly, but it'll be a big mound of mulch.
Okay. I can do that. We have a lot of leaves.
Awesome. Yes. All right.
We do. So, listen, I read recently that weed killer can't be used below a certain temperature. And it was the article I read was talking about doing your weed killer in the fall, but is it okay to use weed killer in these frigid temperatures? Is it going to work?
Well, no, in a word.
Don't do it.
Don't just say no. It's a waste of chemical, and it's not an...
And it's a chemical
It's
as
a
well.
Chemical, right. There's temperatures that they shouldn't be used below. And also, most chemicals that are used for weed killers need to be applied to an actively growing plant. And a whole lot of plants are not actively growing now.
Right. So, now, are there any sort of self-seeding plants that...
Many.
Should you be deadheading those?
You should have been doing that all along during the season. I'm thinking of lawn weeds, like annual bluegrass. If you cut the heads, seed heads off of that, it's an annual, so
okay.
It's going to propagate by seeds.
Talking of grass, we've noticed that our Creeping Charlie has got steadily worse this year.
Oh, sure.
Like now, it's awful.
It loves the... This year was a banner year for our...
Yes. So what else are you doing at the moment in your garden? Or are you just being your lazy gardener?
I'm being my lazy gardener self. I like to evaluate my garden this time of year. I got to tell you, one of the best tools in the garden is a digital camera. Take a point and shoot out and take pictures all season long. You'll have a little memory card so that you can review it as that plant really didn't work there. Now's the time to get those plants out of those places. Or, I really need something else. There's a big hole. What can I put there? And now it's still time. You've still got plenty of time to plant trees and shrubs, of course, and some perennials. A lot of mulch if you're planting perennials now. But still, and they're all on sale. I mean, everybody puts
they
all...
They are.
Oh, yeah. Everybody puts that kind of stuff on sale this
time
of year.
There was one of those bulk places that had 50% off trees.
I'll tell you, it's definitely the time to do it if you need to do it. You can really get some excellent buys right now. So it's the time to evaluate your garden, whether you're sitting looking at pictures or actually... being out in the garden doing it, I actually had a couple of things that I needed to move, and I couldn't move them until they started going dormant, and that's now. So that, pruning, you can start pruning some trees, which is not a bad idea most of the winter.
What about little maple, like Japanese maple, the small ones? Do you prune those each year?
I don't think I told you, but I collect Japanese maples.
No.
I do. I have a couple of dozen. And
I'm asking the right person.
I live on a small city lot. I just have a lot of maple trees. So I've gone to growing them in containers also, as well as in the ground. So it's a lot of fun. You know, you can move them wherever you want them that way. So
do you prune them each
year? I do.
Year?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I love the form of Japanese maples. They're not just a straight trunk with branches on them or the weeping form. There's a lot of character going on, and they really grow densely inside their canopies. So I am in there pruning out all that new growth a lot so I can see the form of the trees.
So you do that throughout the year?
Yeah,
then?
You can prune as long as you're not pruning something very big, less than the size of a pencil, the diameter of a pencil. So, you know, if you can keep it, that's a good rule of thumb. Yeah, keep it under that. Yeah, I say this all the time. It's kind of funny, but it isn't really. But they say pruning, you should always prune when plants are dormant, when trees and shrubs are dormant, or when you have pruners in your hand. So I do.
She's a pruner.
But you got to be careful. I mean, there's some things you don't want to prune. Oak trees, certainly, you don't want to prune during the growing season. They weep. And some other trees do, too. Maples do, too. So you just have to be careful. And if you need to know, the Arbor Association, I'm sure, on their website, lets you know what trees are good to prune what time of year. Morton Arboretum in Chicago is another source for that kind of information. They're an internationally known arboretum and doing all sorts of research about those very things.
I'll put a link for the website, because especially as they're in they're in Illinois as well.
Yeah, they're just a little bit harsher than we are, the Zone 4, but that's okay. That's close.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Well, I have one more question for you, because you are so diverse and you have so many interests in trees and horticulture. If you were a plant, what would you be and why?
Oh, probably a hosta, because you'd be in the shade.
You don't like the heat?
I'm
You've
not
lived
a fan
here all your
my
life.
I know. I'm not crazy about the really cold winters either, so so in the winter, you know, you're a hosta, you just go away and rest in the ground. So, you know, you've got the best of both seasons.
And do you have hostas at home?
Oh, I have many, many hostas, several hundred. I grew up in horticulture in a nursery that was probably one of the premier hosta growers in the country in the late 70s and early 80s. And I've been a member of the American Hosta Society for 40 years.
So do you have a favorite hosta?
Oh, my gosh. I had somebody ask me that question at work not too long ago, and I had to tell them it was stained glass. It's a hybrid.
That's the name of it?
Yeah. It's a hybrid out of the species Planigenia, and it has a beautiful yellow center and green margin, and it's very tolerant of a little more sun. And not full sun all day long, but if you have to have a hosta that it's going to get 4 hours of direct sun, that's the one.
Okay, stained glass.
Yeah.
Well, this has been whizzed by. Is there anything else that you want to tell people to do this coming weekend?
Wow, this coming weekend.
Bear in mind that we are going to freeze.
Bring your hoses in. Nothing's worse on your hoses than to go through the winter outside.
Not just unscrew them.
Not just unscrew them. Take them inside.
And yeah, definitely unscrew them.
Because, yeah, if you've ever had a faucet on the side of your house break, you know what it's like.
That reminds me, we need to do that.
I totally have had that happen, and it's no fun. So, yeah, take your hoses off and take them inside. Even if it's an unheated garage, doesn't matter. Just get them out of that freeze-thaw cycle.
Good one. Thank you, Marianne, for coming in.
Thank you.
Many thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us for another wonderful episode of the Mid-American Gardener podcast. Mid-American Gardener is a production of Illinois Public Media. This episode was produced and hosted by me, Victoria Shepherd. Executive producer was Lisa Broltz. Find us on the web at midamericangardener.org, where you can stream us as many times as you like. And if you have any gardening questions for future inclusion on either the TV show or podcast, email us at yourgarden@gmail.com, message us via Facebook, or call and leave us a voicemail at 217-300-8224. Ooh, Marianne, did you know we did a live Facebook of the show last week?
Oh, fabulous. No, I didn't know that.
So people can now watch the program live at the time it airs on Facebook.
That is awesome.
I forgot about that, but that was really useful, and we've had some great feedback from it already.
Oh, great. I'll bet.
So check that out, too. Thanks again to Marianne Metz. I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another gardening whiz. Until then, put on your scarf and woolly hat. You're going to need it.